Parsis B'Shalach. So Rashi, so the Torah says Bnei Yisrael came out of Yisrael Chamushim. What does Chamushim mean? Chamushim, they were armed. They brought stuff to fight with. Rashi also says Chamushim means a fifth. That four fifths died. That's amazing. It's amazing. Four fifths died. So, you know, and Yisrael was amazing, and we got to be trying, but a lot of Jews didn't make it. It's a terrifying thought that we have to take to heart. This is like the craziest mission. Mashiach's going to come. We're going to make it to Mashiach. But it doesn't mean that all the Jews are going to make it. In other words, four fifths of the Jews didn't make it. So we got to make sure that when Mashiach comes, that we and our families are not part of the four-fifths. You understand? It's a very serious Rashi. That is as happy, as exciting as Kriyas Yom Suf was, a lot of the Jews didn't make it. So we have to take that to heart and make sure that we're rock solid Obdei Hashem. So that's the answer to your question. Okay, let's go on. Next, Lo Yomish. It says amazing. It says the Amud Anan was there during the day, and the Amud HaEsh was there at night. That's what it says. So what does that mean? So Rashi says that one was mashlim the other. That the Amud Anan was there all the way till nighttime, then the Amud HaEsh. That means there wasn't one second that Hashem wasn't with us. When Bnei Israel left Mitzrayim, Hashem was with us and we felt it literally 24/7. This is the Yisod. Every time Hashem starts something new, He does it in the most miraculous way. And then the challenge of life is to maintain it when the miracles end. So Am Yisrael's first week, first few months with Hashem was constant. They saw Hashem. So literally every second, the Amud Anan was there, then the Amud HaEsh. And then the challenge for us is to accept our Masorah and always maintain that, even when the miracles stop. Okay, that's that. There's a lot here. We have, okay. Okay. Now, the Mitzrim chased us. What they chased us with? It says they brought their chariots. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean? Their chariots. So what's the where the horses come from? Everyone died. They died in Dever, and then in Barad. No. Any animal that was out. Yeah, Barash didn't say that. But Yamas come with the Mitzrayim. Bim Tomar. Who? Bim Tomar. Who was it? So it says Rashi says it was those that were Yarei Dvar Hashem, the good Mitzrim, the Yarei Shemayim. They were the ones. Their animals were the ones that were alive. So what does that mean? So what's the message here? Look in Rashi. Kasher Shebarit Simharo. It was the best ones. In other words, even the Yarei Shemayim, who feared Hashem, turned against now to go kill them. In other words, a person can be a good Oved Hashem and have Yirah Shemayim, and if the Yetzer Hara gets to you, he gets in there, go after the Jews' money, go after the slaves. So this shows a person, it's not just that a person gives in, oh, he's a Rasha. These were Yirah Shemayim. These were the good Mitzri. So you can be this is a very scary Muslim. You can be a good Mitzri and a good Yirah Shemayim, but somehow the Yetzer Hara gets in, and you end up doing the worst things, and they end up all being killed. Had they, it's a very scary Rashi. So even the best of the Mitzrim, in the end, they turned against God. It's a very scary thought that a person can be serving Hashem well, and then you let the Yetzer Hara in, then you get into trouble. It's another answer to your question. Okay, next. Uparo Hikri. Now, the word Hikri is strange. What is the word Hikri strange? What does Hikri mean? What does Hikri mean literally? Cause to come close. It should have said Paro Kara, he came close. So what does Hikri mean? So Rashi says he was Hikri Vasatzma. Paro changed the rules. Normally the king's in the back. And everyone goes, he didn't want to get killed. But here, I'll go in front. If he wanted to bring everyone with him, Paro was insane. I want to go. I want to be in the front. So he went in the front. He was hikriv es atzmo. That's what Rashi quotes. The Medrash says he was hikriv es bnei Yisrael. What does that mean? He brought bnei Yisrael close to Hashem. What does that mean? That when the goyim attack and you're in Saros, you turn to Hashem. So Paro, by attacking us, caused us to turn to Hashem. So that's what happens. Now our challenge of life is to turn to Hashem. What? Without the goyim attacking us. Before they shouldn't have that Saros. Before we turn to Hashem. Turn to Hashem without the goyim attacking us. That's what the Medrash says. Kali, it's the third answer to your question. All the same answers. Let's go on. Let's go on. That was a joke. Let's go on. Okay. Next. Right before Kriyas Yamsu, the night. What happened the night before Kriyas Yamsu? What happened? The Mitzvim had darkness. The Pasuk says, "Vayava bein machane mitzayim bein machane Yisrael, v'yahanan v'achoshech v'yares halayim." What does mean choshech? Choshech for who? Choshech for the Mitzrayim. Rashi says, and was light for us. And it was light for us. So there was an anan there. So the night before Kriyas Yasuf, the anan came and was in between. They were shooting arrows. They were being shot back. And the Torah says it was dark for the Mitzvim that night. So the Mepharshim say, what was this Choshech thing? This was the seventh day of Choshech. All the Machos lasted a week. How long did Choshech last for? What does Rashi say? 6 days. Three that were dark, very dark. Three that were very, 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 very dark. They couldn't move. So everything's planned out perfectly. This was the seventh day of Choshech. The one Makkah that was a little short, Hashem gave them the seventh day over here. The Makhzor was an exception, right? That was an exception. Okay.
Was there a week of warning?
What?
Firstborn warning. Was it like a week of warnings leading up to the thing?
There are 3 weeks of warning.
In the morning?
What?
No, but like, if each one is a week, was there like maybe like a big warning and then
I don't know.
It happened and there was morning after?
No, three weeks of warning and then the Makhzor. After a Makhzor, after Rashi says, a Makhzor for a week. Okay. Then there's here. Then it says, "Vayaser is open." And now we're in Kriyas Yamsu. Vayaser is open. Markavosa. What does that mean? The wheels came off the chariots. Vayinayel bechvedus, and he led them with heaviness. So the pashut pshat is, it was hard to move. If you have a chariot and a wheel breaks, it's hard to move the chariot. So how is that part of the? How is that part of the nace? Like, what's the big deal? They're all going to be killed. What's the big deal that the wheel broke and it was hard to move? See, Rashi says another shot. He says, "Kveda v'koshalem." Hashem treated them like with heaviness. He was heavy with them. Like, not that it was hard to move, but it, like, Hashem was treating them harshly. So here goes as follows. You have to know. Kriyas Yamsuf, we did not cross from one side of the river of the over to the other. That's not what happened. There's one place where Tosfos gives a picture of what happened with Kriyas Yamsuf. It was a semicircle. We went in a semicircle. We were here. We went around like this. We didn't go across. Tosfos has that picture. And the Rambam draws that picture. That's what the Rishonim say. And it's based on Psukim. That's what the Rishonim say. It's like a picture in your head. So the art school calls it 12 concentric semicircles. That's the word the art school uses. 12. So this is what Kriyas... Well, that's not what it is. So this is what Kriyas Yamsuf looked like. And there were 12 rows, because each chair would have its own row. They went from here over to here. That's why Rashi says later that Hashem wanted us to see the Mitzvim were dead, because Rashi says, because maybe we came out on this side, and Rashi says, and they came out on the other side and are going to chase us. Well, if it's opposite sides, how are they going to chase us? Rashi means maybe we came out on this side and they came out back on that side, they're going to chase us. So, in other words, that's the point. Rashi says Hashem spit their bodies out so we'd see that they were dead. Because the Jews would be afraid, maybe just like we're here, they're going to chase us. If we were here and they were here, they can't chase us on the other side of the river. So the fact that they were afraid of that, it was the same. That this is the picture. I'll show you the picture later. It's in Tosfos in Erechim. Now, this means as follows. So the inner shevet went this far, and the outer shevet was much longer. So the question is, they should have come out, let's say, after 2 hours, and it would have taken them, let's say, 4 hours to make it around. You with me? The longer semicircle. So let's say 2 hours after Kriyas Yamsu starts, the Jews were out here, right? 2 hours after Kriyas Yamsu, they were out, and where were this? They were still here. 2 hours, right? It took them another 2 hours. So during those 2 hours, the Mitzrim here should have made it to the end and got out also. They just got out also. That's a great question. So you could say that there was this super duper nace, that it was like the wave, that the wall came down like in order, perfectly, but that nace is not mentioned in the psukim. So Rav Mirsky quotes from the Achronim, that's the pshat of losing the wheel. Hashem worked it out that the Mitzrim on the inner circle lost their wheel, and they got stuck in the mud. So it took them, 4 hours. So in other words, the Mitzrim on the outside, their wheels were good. So they made it, and so at the end of 4 hours, so every Mitzri, even the ones on the inner circles, Hashem worked it out that they didn't get out till 4 hours, or whatever the amount was, so all of them would die. All of them would die. That's amazing. So Vayaseres Ofen Mar Kivoso, Vayaseres Ofen Mar Kivoso was a big part of the nace, that's the way it worked out, that all of the Mitzrim were killed, because all of them were skin there till the water came down. Right. The other pshat is, some of you said that the wall came down like one piece at a time. There are those that say that, but that's not mentioned. That's not mentioned anywhere. So it comes out. This is a big part of the nace. Then, okay, Oz Yashir Moshe. Then Moshe sang. So what's strange about that? What's strange about that pasuk? Oz Yashir Moshe. That's later. That's later. The woman sang. So Oz is past tense, then, and what's Yashir? Future. Then Moshe Wilson. Very strange pasuk. Oz Yashir. Then Yashir is will sing, not sing. It's a very strange pasuk. So Rashi says, Oz, when Moshe saw the nace, Ola belibo she Yashir shira. It occurred to him that he should sing now. That's how Rashi learns. Oz, then. It occurred to Moshe, now I should sing. That's why it's future. That's Rashi. There are other pshatim too. Okay, that's the Rashi. Okay, there's a long Rashi, so this is an important Rashi to me, because on our first date, with me and Mrs. Ginsburg, so she was teaching. No, our first phone call.
This sounds okay, guys. It sounds
annoying. On our first phone call. I don't know what to talk about on a phone call talking to a girl. I don't know what to do. So right. So she was a teacher. She was a teacher in seventh. She was teaching seventh grade Manhattan Day School.
So
I said, what are you teaching now? So she said, I'm teaching this pasuk. Oz Yashir Moshe. Oz is past tense, and Yashir is future tense. So it's a very strange pasuk. So she said what Rashi says, and the Sifse Chamim says, and the Mizrahi. So that's what we spoke about. So I tell the girls, you want to get married, so learn Chumash with Mizrahi. You can get a good shidduch. Anyway, so that's it. So that was our first phone call was about this. So the question is, what do you talk about in the first phone call? You talk about Chumash, Rashi, Mizrahi, Sifse Chamim. That's my advice. That's my advice for dating. That's it. That's what we had here. That was our first date. Okay, whatever. All right, good. That really happened. Oh my gosh! Anyway, my kids make fun of us. That's what we did. Yeah, right. In case you have a difficult, you got to find the topic. Oh, I was working on the Mizrahi. Here we go. Now, next, a couple of things. Zekeli ve'anveyu. Ve'anveyu is a hard word. What does ve'anveyu mean? Ve'anveyu. What does nevei mean? It's a hard word. So some say it means to beautify. I'll do the mitzvot in a beautiful way. And nevei also means a place to live. A place to live. So the Unkelus says, correct, it refers to the Beis HaMikdash. Avnugla Mikdasha. This is amazing. At the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, B'nai Yisrael spoke about the Beis HaMikdash. There's a plan here. There's a plan. At the Seder, we constantly refer to the Beis HaMikdash. We do all these things Zecher LeMikdash at the Seder, which we'll discuss. And also, in Dayenu, what do we do in Dayenu? Every Nes Hashem did for us. We thank Hashem for this, for this, for this. And what's the end of Dayenu? What's the end of Dayenu? Beis HaBechira, the Beis HaMikdash. So at the Seder, we're discussing the Beis HaMikdash. We should know that's the goal. The goal is to be free, to get the Torah, to serve Hashem, in order to have the Shechina with us at all times. That's always the goal. The goal is to have the Beis HaMikdash. So our Persky points out, the very beginning, the Beis HaMikdash is the goal. Oh, here's the famous Rashi. What does that mean? That means you can point. That the miracles were so incredible, B'nai Yisrael could, in a sense, see Hashem, whatever that means. They had the Shechina, Bisman, Kriyas Yamsuf. And that's an important thing. Okay, we'll do one more thing, then we'll stop. Okay, Hashem's judgment is perfectly precise. What's the famous Rashi? It says they sank like an Evan. What's an Evan? A stone. That's, then another place says what? They sank like Elferis, which is lead. Another place says Kash, like a straw. So what does that mean? So if straw floats a long time, up and down, that was the worst punishment. They were in the water for a long time while they were drowning. That's the most severe punishment, the greatest pain. And then Evan, stone sinks slowly, and lead sinks really fast. In other words, the tzaddikim of the Mitzrim, they died quickly, a quick death.
Why did they die?
And no, they weren't such tzaddikim. They were chasing the Jews to get killed. The medium ones died medium, and the worst ones were like Kash. Oh, and then, so Hashem's judgment is exact. That applies to everyone. Hashem's judgment is, and then, in the end, their bodies were spit out. Why were they spit out? So we would see that they were dead. But in the end, were they buried or not? In the end, it says they were buried. The pasuk says, "Kiblemo aretz." The ground swallowed them up. Why were the Mitzrim zochet to burial? If they're so bad, obviously being buried is more of a cover. The body isn't totally mevuzeh. The answer is because they did one good thing. Rashi said, Saul and Rashi. Mikanch is Akhul Kvura, Bishar Shamru, Hashem Atzadik, Hashem is the Tzadik. Back by Barad, they said Hashem is the Tzadik. So since they said Hashem is the Tzadik one time, so the Mitzrim were Zocha to Kvura. That's what Rashi says. That's what Rashi says. That's amazing. They said it by Barad because they said the Mitzrim gave in, but Paro kept on going. The Mitzrim gave in. So guys, Hashem's judgment is perfectly precise. Alright. Okay, in Pasuk Yudalad of the Shira, the Torah says, Chil Chaz Yoshvei Polashes. Who are these Yoshvei Polashes? So Rashi says that they had killed Bnei Ephraim. There was a Melchoma that happened before Yetzias Mitzrayim. Approximately 30 years before the real Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Shevet Ephraim left. They left. And they went out and they were killed in this war with the people from this with these Plishtim. Rashi says that this Milchama is referred to in Divrei Hayamim Aleph Perek Zayin. So there was a war. What happened here? Had it been Ephraim leave early? They knew the Nevuah of the 400 years. How'd they get it wrong? So the Sfarim explain as follows. Every Nevuah is true, obviously. But how the Nevuah plays out often depends on what happens in the reality of the world. So the Torah said to be Mitzrayim, the Nevuah was 400 years. And that could have been 400 years of actual slavery, or it could have been 400 years of actually being in Mitzrayim. And in the end, it worked out to be 400 years starting from the birth of Yitzchak. That's how Hashem worked it out. History could have worked out that the 400 years would have been different. We could have been in Mitzrayim 400 years, but Hashem in His wisdom worked it out, how all the factors fit together, that Nevuah would come true based on starting from Yitzchak, when Yitzchak was born. So it could be the B'nai Ephraim thought that it started from when Bris Ben Absarim, that was 30 years earlier. That also could have been a theoretical pshat in the Nevuah. This is a very big deal. All the Nevuahs are true, but how they actually play out depend on us and what we do. And Rabbi Nemetzal gives an example that Sheva Levi was not involved in the slavery in Mitzrayim. Yeah, but the pasuk says that Bnei Yisrael is going to badun v'inu osam. They're going to have, everyone has to work. So how did the Nevuah of the Shibud come true for Sheva Levi? So Rabbi Nemetzal likes the quote from the Zohar, that Chomer v'Levain in the Zohar says is Kal v'Chomer v'Libun ha'alacha. Shevet Levi did work. They worked at learning. They worked at steiging. They worked hard. So the Nevuah of the Shibud, of the very hard labor, was fulfilled, but not with physical hard labor, but rather the hard labor of learning. So often how the Nevuah comes out will depend on us. We'd all rather have a shibud of learning than a shibud of physical oppression. Well, so that's an important yisod. Next, in Pasuk Kaf, that Miriam led the women in song, and it said she took the tambourine, the tof, in her hand. What does that mean? The tubim v'mecholos, tambourines and dances. Rashi says, the righteous women were certain that Hashem would do miracles with them, and therefore they took out the tupim mimitzrayim. The women always had a lot of emunah, a lot of bitachon. The Gemara says in Sota that it was in the schus of the nashim sidkanios that we left Mitzrayim. They played a major role in Yetzias Mitzrayim. So here Rashi's echoing that idea, that the tremendous bitachon that the Nashim Sidkanios had, that they brought out the tambourines. They knew they were going to be dancing and singing with the tambourines. Okay. The Torah says we came to Marah. And at Marah, there was no water. It was all bitter. And then a miracle happened, and the waters turned sweet. And it's interesting, that's where we received the first few mitzvos as a nation. Sham sam lachot mishvat v'sham niso. Some mitzvos, Rashi says, mixas parshiel shel Torah will be received there. So what do you see? That the beginning of Torah was bitter. It was bitter. So many Sfarim say from here that sometimes when you start learning, it might be bitter in the beginning. It might be a little hard. You might not get it. You might get frustrated. But keep at it. Because in the end, everything's sweet, just like the waters of Marah turn sweet. So to our learning, Ein Mayim Ela Torah, the learning turns sweet. And it's true, by the way. It's true. You keep on learning, you keep on learning, and the Torah becomes sweeter and sweeter. So if in the beginning it's challenging, and it's hard, and it seems a little bitter, you keep at it, and Bezat Hashem, the sweetness comes. Now the Torah says that we received the mitzvah of Parah Aduma. Rashi says, Parah Aduma. Now this is interesting. See, Shabbos, at least we could keep Shabbos and practice Shabbos. But Parah Aduma has details that require the Mishkan. The Parah has to be shechted facing the Mishkan. So it's impossible to do Parah Aduma. What does it mean? We got Parah Aduma at this time, there was no Mishkan yet. It's impossible to keep Parah Aduma. What is it? What do the words mean? What does it mean? So it's interesting. Rashi says, "Parshios she yisasku b'hem," that we should be busy with. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky explains in the Emes Liakov the following idea: we receive Parah Aduma not in order to actually keep the mitzvah of paraduma. But to learn paraduma, paraduma is the classic chok. It's a mitzvah which defies rational thinking. And therefore, this was the proper preparation for Matan Torah. To learn paraduma, to know that we have to do what Hashem says because Hashem said so, and then learn the reasons. Sometimes mitzvahs might not, we may not understand the mitzvahs, sometimes they don't make sense to us. We have to keep the mitzvahs anyway. So that's the pshat. The paraduma wasn't there in order to actually keep it. It wasn't possible to keep it. It was there to be osek in it, to learn it, and to learn the message of paraduma. To learn the message of paraduma, as proper preparation for Matan Torah. Okay, right after they left Mara, the Torah says, Bnei Yisrael came to Elima, and there were 12 Enos Mayim. 12 springs of water. So the Chafetz Chaim says here, beautiful idea. The water was around the corner. Hashem had a plan already, it was around the corner. And the Torah is teaching us, you can rely on Hashem, and if something looks strange, Hashem's with you, and He's helping you. Your job is to make good decisions, and Hashem's going to do the rest. A Talmud of mine says, quotes his parents, you do your best, and Hashem does the rest. So right after they left Mara, they found 12 big springs of water. The water was there. Even had they not complained, even had they not needed the miracle, they would have found the water right away. So this teaches you the idea that Hashem is always there, and the water was waiting, and Hashem's Yeshua is often right around. I just want to mention a few more ideas. So in Pasuk, in Perek Hazayin, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, so the Torah says that Hanachos Olifnei Hashem Limishmeros Dorasechem, put them on next to Hashem, in front of Hashem, in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan, Limishmeros Dorasechem. And then it says, Vayenichei Aron, and Aron put it there, Lifnei Haidus. Now, that didn't happen yet. There's no Mishkan yet. So what does the pasuk mean? So Rashi tells you, this pasuk didn't really happen yet. And the Torah just mentions it here in the parsha of the month. This is a big yesod. The Torah is not always in chronological order. And the yesod, many times the Torah will finish the story it's discussing, finish the theme, finish the topic, even though it's a little out of order. So here the Torah is giving the whole parsha of the month. And the Torah finishes the parsha of the Mon, that the Mon was placed next to the Aron, even though that didn't happen just yet. Then at the end of the parsha, Amalek attacks, and Moshe Rabbeinu is davening up on the mountain, and the pasuk says, when Moshe's hands were up, Bnei Yisrael won, his hands were down, Bnei Yisrael lost. Rashi refers to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says what? Moshe's hands were fighting the battle up on the mountain? The answer is no. And Bnei Yisrael looked up and subjected their hearts to Hashem, then they would win. When Moshe's hands were up, Bnei Yisrael were focused on their tefillah, focused on Hashem. Hashem is the one winning the battle. So our job is, to ishtaros. Our job is to daven and focus on Hashem, and then we'll win the battle. And that's what was happening by Melchemes Amalek. So it's not that Moshe's hands were winning or losing, hands being up, it's Bnei Yisrael's tefillah. Bnei Yisrael's Kabbalah HaMalchus Shemayim was winning or losing the battle, and Moshe's hands were some of that. Then Moshe got tired, the Pasuk says. Pasuk Yibbeis, he sat on a rock. Why a rock? Why not on a comfortable pillow? So Rashi says, V'lo yashav lo al kar v'ket, he didn't sit on a pillow. Amar Yisrael shuim b'tzar, apniyeh b'tzar. Bnei Yisrael in a state of grief. I'll be in a state of grief with them. This is no save olim chaveru. If others are in tzaras, you share their pain. Moshe felt it wouldn't have been proper that they're fighting a battle, and he is sitting comfortably. So Moshe sat in an uncomfortable way. We should always feel a sense of connection
with the other Jews and share in their struggles and in their pain. No save all in Chaver. Finally, the end of the parsha says, Kiyar al Keska. The pasuk describing as if Kaviyachol Hashem swears about his fight against Amalek. So this pasuk is mentioned in the Sfarim about the Vilna Gaon. The Gro was a super genius, super giant, and at a very young age he knew Tanakh. And we know the Mishnah describes that on Sukkos there was tremendous dancing in the Beis HaMikdash at the Simchas Beis Shaveva. Who danced in the middle? The great Talmid Chacham danced in the middle. So in Vilna, the custom was that the Rav of the city would ask questions to the boys, and if you gave the right answers, you dance in the middle with the Rosh Hashiva, with the Rav of the city. But he didn't ask regular Gemara questions. He asked questions like, he asked like Chumash questions. So it says in the books, he asked, where in the Torah do you find Avram's name twice in a row, not by the Akedah? That's the famous one. So no one knew. So it says, a high voice answered. The girl was 5 years old, 4 or 5 years old. I know. Ega told us Yitzhak ben Avraham. Avraham will lead us Yitzhak. There's a comma there, so because of the comma, we don't really appreciate that it's, we don't recognize it's Avram's name twice in a row. And then the Rosh Shiva asked, where do you have in the Torah 5 words in a row of 2 words each, 2 letters each? So nobody knew. And the Gra says, a high voice, I know, he was a little kid. Vayoled Noach, es shame, es cham. That's one example. And here's the second example. Kiyad al keska. 5 words in a row of 2 letters each. Oh. So these are, and then the Gra went on from there. We discuss in Parshas Vayigash many of other ideas related to the Gra. But these were some of the things the Gra said as a very, very young boy. Okay, we'll stop here.